Welcome to the EDUCAUSE Review Online Podcast. I'm Jerry Bain, and on this podcast, we feature an interview with Yves Paul Epeboin, Special Advisor to the President for MOOCs at the Université Pierre et Marie Curie. Could you tell me about your position as Special Advisor to the President for MOOCs? How are MOOCs being implemented at your university?
Until last June, I was CIO for teaching and learning in the university. But MOOC becoming a very important subject, the President asked me to leave my position and to work full-time on MOOCs. To answer more generally to your question about how MOOCs in France, in Europe, there are very few platforms for MOOCs. The university one they want to open courses on, as MOOCs, mm-hmm. have limited choice because up to now there is no European platform. The British have FutureLearn, the Spanish have Myriada X, the German have a new platform called Eversity, and otherwise you deal with anybody, any vendor, any company which might help you. Mm-hmm. So that just a few weeks ago, a national initiative was launched in France called FUN, France University Numeric, with a platform where most universities will be able to put their courses. Because we cannot use the platform that you American use, such as Coursera or edX. They are not so open for outside world. A few French universities are kindly invited. Mine is one of them to join Coursera, but the Coursera is not willing to handle all the university who wants to have MOOCs. Mm-hmm. So it was necessary to have a platform in France. Mm-hmm. So the position in my university is still a wait and see. I'm supposed to give a strategic report to the president in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons because I was listening to everything about MOOCs here at EDUCAUSE. Mm-hmm. More generally, in my university in France, and I would say more generally in Europe, people first think about SPOC, small private online courses. Mm-hmm. And then they think of MOOC as an extension of the SPOC. I should say a byproduct, mm-hmm. but the SPOC and MOOC are thought as a means to revolutionize the way of teaching and more than teaching, the way of learning. Mm-hmm. Because most often our students are very passive. They come to the lecture, then they come to the applied lecture, and then they never learn the course in advance. So I hope that with flipped learning, mm-hmm. we have a great opportunity to teach another way and for the student to learn another way. Mm-hmm. So MOOC is more a revolution in the way of learning than anything else.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Do you think the excitement around MOOCs is overhyped too much, or do you think that it really is a truly revolutionary different way?
Oh, it's already going down very quickly.
Yes, it's true.
No, you could do the same before with a conventional LMS platform. You know, mm-hmm. the point is that up to now, I tried myself. You could build a course like a MOOC in LMS, but then you didn't know how to use it in your ordinary teaching time because you had hours for the theater, hours for practical classes, and it was on the side. Now you can say, I'm suppressing the main lecture, and instead you have to work by yourself. But I'm not sure it will be successful because in Europe, in Switzerland, in Lausanne, they make a revolution using intensively MOOCs. And students are not so happy because they have to work constantly every week, not 2 weeks before the final assessment.
Right.
And that's maybe more revolution for the student than for anybody else.
Right.
On the other hand, it's for people like me who are in IT for teaching and learning since a long time, a great opportunity to put the pressure on our colleagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the biggest challenge for you in your job? What's the toughest part?
There are two challenges. One is to convince my fellow professor in the university, mm-hmm. to move and to use such a way of teaching. The second one is to find the means. I mean, the staff, the people needed to build a MOOC because it's expensive, and the amount of money that we have in Europe and US is much less than in US university. Mm-hmm. So it's a question of a cost of a MOOC, which is a lot for the budget we have in the university, and the pressure on our colleagues.
Yeah, that makes sense. What do you love about your job?
What do you love?
What do you love about your job?
Well, I always love finding new things. I was a researcher in the past. I love new way of teaching and learning. I love that mix of technology and pedagogy and human being.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Could you tell me a little bit about your professional development, how you started and how you became an IT leader?
It's a long story. I will make it short. I started as a researcher when I was 24 as a theoretician in physics, X-ray diffraction. And at the time, we had a small thesis in France and a very long thesis. And my small thesis is a long equation. Mm-hmm. And I came to the point with such approximation that somebody said, oh, you have just to use a computer. And the just use a computer was my long thesis. Mm-hmm. After that thesis, where I'm using intensively computer, I went to the US working at IBM Research in Yorktown for 2.5 years because I wanted to have much more power. Because at that time, IBM had 4 times the full power that we had in research in France. And when I came back to France, I said, well, I'm a physicist, I have to build my own experiment, which for my case was to build a computing center. Mm-hmm. That's the way I went in that field.
Ah, that makes sense. So you started as a physicist.
Yeah.
Great. What are 2 things that you think helped you become a leader in your position?
The first thing is that as a researcher, I travel and work in other countries. I work in the US for 2.5 years. I work in UK for 6 months during that. And that broadens your mind. You meet other people who think differently. Mm-hmm. You find people who act differently. And I think this is the main important thing. The second thing, which is linked to the first one, is that coming back to the US, I discovered that I was European, mm-hmm. that we all in Europe had something in common, different from the US. And I started to work at European level. And I was a founder of a small sister of EDUCOS, which is called UNIS. Mm-hmm. And I could, so that I have fellows and I know people all around Europe. And that is very exciting. And the exchange is very good for the mind and for the thinking.
Mm-hmm. Great. Last question. What are some differences between higher education in the US and in Europe?
Well, the main difference is that in France, and that's true in most European countries, is that higher education is mostly in the hand of the state. Mm-hmm. We are 90% state funded. Most staff are civil servant. And also university autonomous, it has nothing to do with the autonomy of American university, mm-hmm. which have to fight for everything. Yeah. So that's a big difference. At the same time, we have national diploma so that a student who's learning in one university can change very easily to another one. Mm-hmm. That is very nice for the student. Yeah. But on the other hand, for us at the university, this is sometimes topic or slowing the changes because we have to have a national agreement when you want to change diploma. Mm-hmm. So it has good and bad about that. But that is the main thing, this difference, being under state control and having to work collectively.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Yves, thank you so much for your time.
You're okay. Thank you very much.
Yves Paul Appelboing, Special Advisor to the President for MOOCs at the Université Pierre et Marie Curie. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE Review Online. Thanks for listening.